Okay, so go ahead and call the meeting to order. If I could remind everybody to please turn your phones off or down so as not to disturb anybody, and to please consider the rest of the people and try not to have conversations while people are talking. Okay, if we could go ahead and have a roll call, please.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Tigard?
Here.
Supervisor Perez?
Excuse. Okay. All right. Next, approval of summary proceedings for July 15th and August 19th.
I don't have anything on the line now.
Okay.
There's no meeting on.
No meeting on. Okay. Anybody here have anything? Anybody have any changes or corrections? Okay, if I could have a motion.
A motion to approve.
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Sorry, trying to figure out how to turn this to the phone. There we go. Okay. All right. Next, the consent agenda. And, yeah, it did. Okay. I believe that all of these items have been requested to be taken off of consent to receive file for discussion. So, do our... Nick, you want to just respond to all of those?
Sure. So we received several emails from members of the public.
I should probably get up.
First email was from Mr. Bill Matthew. He asked a question. Let me turn it on. First email was received by Mr. Bill Matthew, who asked a question. He lives in the Rosedale area. And he had a question as to whether animal services would pick up a raccoon. We did let him know that our officers do not pick up wildlife, which raccoon is considered wildlife, and we did refer Mr. Matthew to the correct agency. Also received an email from a Ms. Susan McLean, who brought to our attention some concerns that she had with an organization or a facility here that was handling chickens and that they're being handled inhumanely. And we referred back to her that there's currently some, not just animal services, but other agencies that are investigating as well. So that was our response to Ms. McLean. We also received an email from Ms. Sharna Anchetta, and her question was basically about the zoning ordinance proposal. She wanted to know if the proposal only applies to rescues, or is it all residents of Kern County that house more than 10 domestic animals? She also had questions whether or not this applies to livestock and reptiles. She was forwarded over to the planning department, and I believe she had made contact with Mr. Denny with the planning department. We also received an email from Mr. Ray Rodriguez, who had a concern about a dog bite that occurred in July. We gave him some information about how to investigate, who to contact, and we had determined that the bite had occurred in the city and the animal owner was in the city as well. So we forwarded them to the correct organization and gave them the right contact information for the city. And then we also received an email from Ms. Stacy Enns. She was asking simply, how does an item get added to an upcoming Animal Control Commission agenda? And we responded to her that you make the request in writing to the Animal Control email address, and also you're always welcome to attend a meeting and make the request in the public presentation portion of the meeting. And then we received a second email from Ms. Stacy Enns, and she was just asking about the protocol when speaking at the Animal Control Commission. And we gave her some information about how the topics are brought up, where she can get more information about the Animal Control Commission, let her know that topics on the agenda are discussed in order of the agenda and that the audience does get time to speak and bring up issues that they may have. And those are the email correspondence that we received.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have any questions?
One quick question. The gentleman that had the dog bite that was in the city, if that were in the county, how would we respond to that?
We get as much information as we can from the victim. Sometimes when a dog bite like that happens, it happens so fast, it takes people by surprise, obviously. And they don't exactly get all the information. It's sort of like getting into an accident sometimes. You got to exchange information with the animal owner. But if that were to happen in the county, we would make contact with the victim. We would make contact with the victim. get the date of bite that it occurred, where it occurred, owner information, dog description, and then we'd proceed to make contact with the animal owner, where we would verify that there was a current vaccination on file, place the animal under quarantine, issue citations if there's a lack of licensing or rabies vaccination at the time, and then come back 10 days after the date of bite and release the animal from quarantine and again address any deficiencies in licensing at that time.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. Any other questions amongst the commissioners? Any questions from the public? All right. If not, can I have a motion to receive and file? Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Next, D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers are limited to 2 minutes. And we'll start on this side. Liz?
Am I supposed to shout or?
No, you're going to talk into that thing that stopped working.
My name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H. I am a proud resident of the 5th Supervisorial District in Kern County, which is represented on the board by Supervisor Leticia Perez. Even though this kind of does not directly deal with Animal Control Commission, it does indirectly. Supervisor Perez was appointed to the Board of State and Community Corrections by the governor on August 26. Some of you may have seen this in the paper. This is a relatively new board, and they are the folks that make recommendations about legislative changes. I have already been in touch with the supervisor in her new position, and what may be of some interest to you, I'm not sure that you know, there was a bill some years ago, it's called AB 109, that reduces the punishment for certain felonies from requiring the person to go to state prison to merely sending them to local jail. One set of those felonies, one set of those felonies has to do with people who are adjudicated felony animal abusers. You all may remember the case of Lacey, who had bleach thrown in her face, was beaten with a golf club, and all kinds of ugly stuff. That person would not have a prayer of going to prison under the provisions of AB 109. So I'm working with a small group, and I have let Board Member Perez know that we would like to see those exemptions for felony animal abuse removed. So that's why it may have something eventually to do with ACC. But in the meantime, Supervisor Pettis is the only county supervisor on this board. There are 13 people. It's a feather in her cap. It is an honor that she is a member of this commission because she will bring our animal concerns to them. And I just wanted, as a proud resident of the 5th District, I wanted everybody to know. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. On down the table. Judy? Anybody across the back there?
No, one deeper.
Joan? Yes, you have to come up here.
I miss going to the gym. I don't think I need this thing because I'm told I have a big mouth. Joan Payton. I just wanted to commend Angela. I do German Wirehair Point of Rescue for my national club, and last time I was there, saw an old wire hair standing in there and got with Angela. She told us what all had to be done, and within 24 hours, I had the dog heading for L.A. So she makes it quite easily. I mean, you got a lot of paperwork to do, but she makes it very convenient, and it was a very simple process to get the dog out. So I just wanted to commend Sally for her hard work.
Angela.
Just thanks. I mean, Angela. Why do I say Sally? They're interchangeable, aren't they?
Further across the back table. Up the side. In the very back. Okay, that concludes public presentations. Next, item E, staff announcements or reports. Director's monthly report.
Good evening.
Good evening.
We have two director's reports to go over. There was not an official meeting last month, although some of us stayed late to answer questions. There was no official meeting, so we have 2 months to go over. So the director's report for July of 2015 is where I'll start. Our volunteer program. Volunteers in the month of July 2015 donated approximately 1,860 hours in the month of July. The total volunteer time equates to 10.7 staff members in the Valley given back to Kern County Animal Services. By current and new volunteers in all areas is $46,035. Also, for the month of July, we were busy as usual with media requests. The Marketing and Promotions Associate responded to 21 media inquiries and requests, providing information to the media on topics such as field services, wildlife calls, vaccine clinics, spay-neuter resources, etc. Our rescue team coordinated a transport to Port Richmond, where 39 animals, dogs and cats, were able to find loving homes. Rescue partners saved an additional 181 animals in the month of July for a grand total of 220 animals that went to rescue in the month of July. Our foster program is still going strong. Month of July saw 67 new animals enter the foster care program during the month of July. I will say we're noticing in our foster program, it's very lopsided. It's about 90% cats, 10% puppies. And we were really trying to put our finger on that. And although it doesn't pass the statistical view of it, we all at the shelter have noticed a striking contrast in the amount of puppies that are not coming in anymore.
Cool.
I don't have any statistics to back that up because I pulled the statistics and they're anecdotal. But it's just it's a shelter, it's a staff sort of fascination that we're just not seeing the puppies come in like we normally do. And hopefully that's...
I can't imagine how it's happening.
Hopefully that's a sign of things to come. Our TNR program still runs strong. Since July of 2013, 3,344 animals, or cats, were put through the TNR program as of the end of July. Also in July, we held an adoption promotion. I will admit that almost every month we have an adoption promotion. July's was All You Need Is Love. The promotion did reduce the adoption fees to $20 dogs, $10 cat, or $5 cats. We adopted out 102 cats and 104 dogs in the month of July. We also adopted 2 horses, 1 goat, and 1 lizard. That was in 11 days.
Seriously?
Yes, seriously. The total number of animals adopted in the month of July was 440. For those of us who don't attend these meetings, 440 animals for Kern County is a lot for a month in adoption. Anytime we eclipse the 400 number, it's a lot. We also had a successful low-cost rabies vaccination clinic in Taft, 198 licenses, 164 rabies vaccinations, 86 DHPP vaccinations, which is the parvo distemper vaccination, and 12 feline vaccination, as well as implanting 91 microchips at the Taft clinic. This is a favorite story of mine. Special donations were given to the department by 9-year-old Silver Winders and the California Distinguished Women's Group during the month of July. Instead of asking for birthday presents, 9-year-old Silver asked her friends and family to help her collect donations for the shelter pets. Silver and her mom went to Petco. They used the cash that she received in lieu of presents, and she purchased toys, treats, and food for the shelter animals. That was one of those things where I was almost brought to tears by this little 9-year-old girl. It was just adorable, and she has hopes and wishes to someday be a shelter veterinarian, too. Took some convincing, but I think that's what she wants to do. Also, in the month of July, we did partake in the Kern County East Bakersfield Allied Agency Collaborative. We had an open house at the Sheriff's Substation in East Bakersfield. It was a really nice event. They had vaccines, back to school vaccines for some of the kids. There were some backpack giveaways. Sheriff's Department was there. We were there as an informational booth, and we passed out some information about spay-neuter. It was something good to be a part of. We're still working on having a presence there at least one day a week at the Sheriff's Substation to answer any questions. I'm still working on setting up the Sheriff's Department, their fiscal technician that mans the substation, to see if she can issue spay-neuter vouchers at some point in the near future. That concludes July's director's report. Is there any questions about July?
Good job.
I'll have some comments when you finish.
Okay, I'll move on to August. August of 2015, our volunteer program, we saw 1,921 hours donated by volunteers in the month of August 2015, slightly more than July of 2015. Total volunteer time equated to 11.2 staff members. The value given back to animal services by current and new volunteers in all areas, $47,544.75. I love our volunteers. Marketing promotions was busy again. 20 media inquiries, most of them positive. I think they were all positive, really good stories, good feel-good stories. Our rescue team in the month of August coordinated 2 transports to Northern California. The first transport was to Mount Shasta, where 38 dogs found their new homes. Second transport was to the San Francisco area, where 29 dogs found new homes. Rescue partners saved an additional 64 animals in the month of August for a grand total of 131 animals saved through rescue. Month of August 2015 saw 78 new animals enter the foster care program. It's important to realize when I say that number of new animals, that doesn't account for the animals that are currently in foster at that time. Those are just new animals that are entering. TNR program still going strong. As of the end of August, 3,432 feral cats had their lives saved and will never have babies again. Also in the month of August, we had, surprise, another adoption promotion. This one was titled The Dog and Cat Days of Summer. That was through the month of August. $15 and all cat adoptions were reduced to just $5. So $15 dogs, $5 cats. Promotion was very well supported by the community. We had a total of 451 adoptions in the month of August. That's about a 30% increase over this time last year. And I believe we had the same promotion last year as well. We also had another successful low-cost vaccine clinic. I wanted to have an addendum to this, but we had a successful low-cost vaccine clinic in Tehachapi at Meadowbrook Park, 257 licenses, 218 rabies vaccinations, 120 parvo distemper vaccinations, and 109 free microchips were implanted during that vaccine clinic. What I did want to bring to your attention, sometimes we forget that there's more than just the animal shelter. Our PETE team. Our PETE team is a public education and enforcement team. It's a two staff member team. And what they do is when we have clinics like vaccine clinics, they have a presence in the area in and around where the vaccine clinic is going to be held. And they promote licensing. They issue notices for licensing. They hand out notices for spay-neuter. They give information to folks. But it's so vital to have that PETE team. And the way I can demonstrate that is we had this same vaccination clinic in 2014. And the total revenue that came out of the 2014 clinic was about $1,500. And this year, after PETE canvassed, it was about $8,000 in revenue. So our PETE team is doing a fascinating job. I mean, they're out there hitting the pavement when it's 105 degrees, and they're really doing a good job. Really proud of the PETE team. Also, in the month of August, we began our partnership with the Petco stores. It's an adoption partnership. We actually will have cats available for adoption at both Petco's in Bakersfield, the one on Gosford and the one on Rosedale Highway. The Gosford Petco store began the partnership in August. The partnership allows Petco employees to facilitate the adoptions and assist the public with questions about cats that are housed at the location. Animal Services provides staff and volunteers 7 days a week to open the cat area. When the store opens, volunteers and staff clean cages. We ensure there's plenty of food and water. We spend time socializing and interacting with the cats. The most important thing is in just over 2 weeks, we adopted 37 cats out through Petco, one Petco. We didn't expect that response. Actually, Petco got kind of upset with us because we couldn't keep up with the volume. We literally took six cats out there, and before the employee left the building, there was only three left.
Oh, wow.
They get adopted before we get them in the cages. So we're real proud of that Petco store partnership. I'm looking forward to getting into the Rosedale store as well. If it's anything like Gosford, we could be looking at, you know, almost 100 adoptions a month just out of that partnership. Also, if you remember about 3 or 4 months back, I mentioned that our animal control officers were going to be getting computers in their vehicles, which was going to make their job much easier, much safer. Better communication, cut down on radio traffic, assist the public better, especially after hours. That has not happened yet. Although all the equipment is purchased, all the trucks are outfitted, our county ITS department has to go through 17 different computers and get them all loaded with the equipment and software that needs to be on them. So we're looking at next week that we start getting those computers in the trucks, which I know I'm excited about. I did want to mention that this morning, I received an email from a gal who runs an animal shelter in Oklahoma. Just goes to show how social media and the internet has changed the face of animal welfare. But it's an animal shelter in Oklahoma who had a large-scale seizure, a cruelty case, where they had about 70 dogs come into their shelter. And they reached out to us because of our success that we've had in adoptions, especially of late. And we were contacted, and they asked us, what are we doing? And I think it's just for those of us who have been involved in animal services for a long time, to have another organization contact Kern County Animal Services to ask how we're doing and how we're succeeding is night and day from what it was 5-6 years ago. Because 5 or 6 years ago, Kern County Animal Services was known, but it wasn't known for good. It was on the top of the list for the worst places for an animal to be. Got a long way to go, but we're getting there. I did also want to mention that the department is trying to sort of reinvigorate or re-envision how we use social media. We've gone and created a Facebook page for the volunteer program. We've created a Facebook page for the foster program. I am probably the dumbest Facebook person on the planet, so I could not tell you how to get there. Maggie probably could, but if you ever get a chance, just search Kern County Volunteer or Kern County Foster Program on Facebook and it'll pull it up. Those pages are really awesome to look at. They're good stories. For example, our foster coordinator, Deanna, has been posting, I think every Friday, she's posting a story about some kittens that came in 2 or 3 days old. And what she's doing is every Friday, she'll show the growth and how they're taken care of. And it's stories like that that we're trying to market and get out there and make use of social media. So if you get a chance, pop in on the volunteer and foster page. The volunteer page is awesome, too, because we have some videos of the volunteers cleaning the animals and promoting the animals, and there's some promotion of the animals on the page as well. We also have an Instagram page. I think it's called a page. Instagram something. But we're really trying to re-envision how we market the department and how we make use of social media to see if we can, you know, continue that thought of, you know, other agencies looking to Kern County to get some advice on how to do things right. So we have a long way to go. I'd be the first to tell you that, but we're getting there.
Did you tell them that the trick is to have, like, 15 different directories?
I didn't tell them that. I said, all you have to do is have an adoption promotion every week. And I can answer any questions. That concludes both directors' reports.
I just was wondering about puppy intake has dropped.
Sorry.
Has kitten intake dropped, particularly in 06?
We haven't seen a decrease in feline intake, either by the eye test or a statistical test. That's something that I keep looking at, you know, because I'm hoping that with the 3,500 cats that we put through the TNR program in a year and a half, a little over a year and a half, that we'll see a drop in intake. We haven't. I was discussing this with some staff the other day. You know, with the TNR program, it sort of, especially once people started to get to know that it exists, it sort of opened up the floodgates to people that would otherwise not have chosen to take an animal to the animal shelter, especially a feral cat. Well, now that the program is so successful, especially over the past year, we're seeing a consistent intake of cats in the 200, 250 per month numbers entering into the TNR program. So I think it's just the numbers are increasing now just because of how successful the program is. But my hope and my goal is that hopefully those numbers will start coming down. But when we're talking about feral cats, you know, there's estimates of, you know, 130,000 feral cats in the county of Kern, and, you know, we only see 2,500, maybe 3,000 a year. So, I mean, it'd be pretty tough to really make a large dent, especially when not every other organization in Kern is practicing TNR. But that doesn't change the fact that that's the right way to go for Kern County.
And puppies will start.
Yeah.
Maggie, I'll never get it right. There's an email thing that comes out. Safe Harbor, is that what it's called? It's when you have an interest in a type of dog, you put it online, or you put it in
Pet
the
Harbor.
Pet Harbor. Yeah. How long has that been around?
It's been around for quite some time, ever since our department went to Chameleon. It's been around.
Really?
But Maggie's been working with the IT department to revamp the Pet Harbor website.
It's pretty incredible.
Not Pet Harbor, our website.
Our website.
Yes.
That connects to Pet Harbor.
I've been there today, and I noticed as you view adoptable, I was looking at that, it doesn't have the same options at the bottom, like to enlarge the picture and that kind of stuff. It doesn't seem like it takes you to Pet Harbor like it used to. So I know you're doing something.
Mm-hmm. So. For the better, I hope.
I hope so.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Before I get into the data, Nick, I wanted to. My leading question is going back to Petco.
Yes.
When did this association start? Was it in August?
Yes. I mean, the discussions began in July.
Okay.
It was in August that we got cats into the store.
Was there somebody in there before us?
Yes.
Is that the deal? Who was it? Yeah.
It was a local rescue organization.
Okay. I wonder why we weren't in there until now. I didn't know it was one.
I mean, there's a few different reasons, but the Petco organization, from what I've learned speaking to them, they've just come to the realization that they need to have animals available for adoption that come from shelters for many different reasons. But they've recently come to that conclusion, striking conclusion for them, and that's what they want to do. They want to save shelter animals. So not that there's not, you know, any animal that's more in need than any other, but, you know, in the grand scheme of things, at any animal shelter is usually taking in way more animals than any other organization in your area. So I think they just come to that realization. It just sort of kind of fell into our lap, to be honest with you.
Okay.
And we just didn't know how successful it would be or it would not be. We've discussed it before with PetSmart and Petco at one point. And the thing that was hindering us from moving forward years ago was that the stores were requiring our staff to be in there 6 to 8 hours a day to care for the cats or come back periodically, and we just couldn't do that. Well, when Petco approached us, actually they didn't approach us, it was just sort of a conversation that happened. They mentioned to us about a program they're starting up called the Payout Program. And what that is exactly what we needed, that all our staff would be required to do is show up in the morning, socialize, feed, clean for about an hour, and then leave, and then the Petco staff cares for the cats for the rest of the day and answers any questions about them. So that's sort of what we needed, and that's what's happening, and that's probably why it's been so successful up to this point.
Well, I mean, how long has it been since they quit selling, like, breeder animals in their stores?
They've known years.
I'm just glad that they've made this evolution to allowing us to go in there because, you know, if you're going to market, I mean, people at Petco, I mean, they have a variety of things. You know, by the way, we have rescued animals here too, in addition to all the other food and supplies. So I think it's perfect. It's part of your marketing to get out there when you want to do marketing. It's another facet of your marketing that you're doing. So
I think that the real big benefit to the Petco program is that if you work in animal welfare or you work at a shelter, there's a swath of the population who just can't walk into an animal shelter.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, you know, I can identify with that reason. And if they knew that a shelter animal was available for adoption, but they didn't have that obstacle of having to walk into a shelter and say no to every other animal, well, that might help. And it does. I mean, it knocks down that barrier and taps into a different market of people that maybe we weren't able to tap into before. So, you know, it's good for the animals, it's good for the department, and if I have anything to do with it, we'll be in the PetSmart stores by the end of the year, too.
So. Well, I'm just glad it happened. I don't know why it took so long, but I mean, I'm glad that they came to the realization that was the thing to do. And so I'm really pleased about this because, like you said, if they're complaining about not having enough animals to place, that's a good problem to have, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I wanted to get into the numbers real quick. As you know, I like to look at the bottom line, and if you look at page 5 on both months, and for those of you that don't know me very well, I mean, one of my main focuses for being a commissioner is seeing this county get to no kill. That's really why I took the job, and that's really my goal, and I'm going to stay in it until we get there. So I'm going to be monitoring these numbers every month as I usually do. If you look at July, what I see is adoption or more than the previous year. I'm talking about year-to-date July of 2014 versus year-to-date July 2015. We improved the adoption by 304. You can see that is a huge piece of the puzzle of getting to no-kill is the adoption. The rescue, about the same. Return to owner, now that's really good when you reunite a member of your family back at your home. And that's what I call them, because they really are. It went up by 60 for July. The euthanized numbers actually dropped by 32. That's surprising during the summer to see that happen. Overall, now the way I do the total outcomes, I take out the miscellaneous, because we don't know what really happened. It says here they could have died, disposed of, escaped, missing, unknown, theft, and there is theft that goes on. I was surprised to hear that people go in there and steal animals.
Mm-hmm.
That was something I learned, you know, a few years ago. I guess pit bull is probably one of the number one targets. I don't know what the number one target is, but it happens. If you filter out the miscellaneous for year-to-date July, we were at 51.9% in the live outcomes. If you do the same thing in July of 2015, we're up to 53. Okay, that's 1 percentage point. So you can see that we're trying to get there. We're not regressing. We did a little bit this spring, a percentage point or so. You know, okay, we're back on track. For a lot of reasons, we've been able to get there. Now, if you move over to August, adoption again up 408 year to date over last year. That's huge. And really, I commend you guys for doing these specials, the $20 dog or the $15 dog, the $5 cat. You know, I think that's a great thing. If that's what it takes to get people in the door to adopt animals, then I think that's money well spent in not getting your normal, you know, per diem that you would normally get. I think it's a great thing. Return to owner, again, up 80. The euthanized crept up a little bit, but if you look at the total outcomes minus the miscellaneous for August, we were at 52.4 for last year. We're at 52.8. Okay, we'll take that. We were at 53 in July. So I see steady growth. I see that this thing has stabilized. And yeah, the incomes have crept up in cats and for various reasons. But the live outcomes, you've stabilized it, and you had to work really hard. And Jeff George with his 1,921 hours, that's huge. Huge, folks. I mean, a year ago, I don't know what it was, like if you average the last 5 years, 400 or 500, they thought that was pretty good. We're blowing that out of the water with 1,921. And, okay, work for these people, great. That's a great way to use their time for them to help out. So, and it's saved 11.2 members if you equate it that way in full-time people. So basically, I think things are positive. I'm encouraged. I think that this little girl that, you know, didn't want presents and wanted to give treats and food for the dog. All these things inspire a community, and that's what I see happening. That's what I've been talking about the last year is we're getting inspired here. Oklahoma's coming to us looking for pointers when we were infamous a few years ago about what we did, what happened to animals when they came through Kern County. Now people are asking us, how did we do it? Well, a lot of hard work in a variety of areas, to get there. So, basically, the bottom line is I want to commend everybody at Animal Services and the director in particular, because he makes sure everything gets done. But the numbers are good. And from here, we build toward the future. And so, we're just going to do it better, faster, cheaper, going forward. So those are my comments. Thank you.
First of all, I'm always one to celebrate success. Yeah. But I will be the first to tell you that we've come a long way, but we still have a long way to go.
We do.
That being said, we're at a point, this is kind of new to us all. We've all been mired in the doldrums of euthanasia and intake for years and years and years. So it's sort of kind of getting your head above water for the first time. Sure. And what we're starting to realize is that, we've increased live release and reduced euthanasia to the extent that it's almost that where we are right now, it's going to take something else to bring it down drastically. And, we can adopt and rescue and RTO all that we can, but like I said, we're at a point right now where I feel that those adoption numbers and those rescue numbers could probably improve, RTOs can improve. But we're not going to go much higher below where we are right now until we start seeing a drastic reduction in intake.
That's it.
And when intake reduces, it increases the kennel space and allows us to hold animals longer and keep them healthier for longer and increase adoptions that way. Now, we could be a few years away from that. We're not seeing the massive reduction in intake that we all want to see, even though we've really only been hitting the county animal services has only been hitting the spay-neuter problem hard in the past year or so, even though there's other organizations, such as the Friends Foundation, that's been hitting it hard for quite some time now. And, organizations like Critters Without Litters, who is, above and beyond just altering animals at an alarming rate, and it's all of these organizations that are coming together. All these organizations that are coming together that it's building, And even though we're not seeing the statistics that shoot out at you every, I pull those numbers every day almost. I just know it's just around the corner when we're going to start seeing that drastic reduction in intake, and it's that time that we're really going to be able to move towards some sort of no-kill plan, and it could be realistic, you know, right around the bend.
Well, I was looking at the TNR numbers that you've had from the start, and those numbers are going to start. You're going to see things start to go up, you know, exponentially. I mean, let's say down. Once these things start to take effect, once, you know, nature sees, hey, we don't have as many cats here, these numbers will take care of themselves, I feel. We have to keep the pressure up. But all these good things that we're doing, it may take a bit. But we're going to see it happen. The bottom line is going to improve as we go forward. And we just have to keep the pressure on. Be optimistic and just keep going. And that's what I see you doing.
You know, I hate to get long-winded here, but to touch on the volunteer aspect of our organization and how important that's been for the past year and a half, you could throw me all of the hours and the money that's saved, and that's all. It makes me happy, and it probably makes the business manager, Blake Smith, happier than me. But I think that the more important thing that's maybe not tangible is that when you have a volunteer program that starts out, you have 130 active volunteers and growing, that engages the community with your department and opens the doors and says, this is what we're doing, come be a part of it. That's sort of what plays into this, is that changing the community's perception of the animal shelter and the department. And I think that volunteer program has a lot to do with engaging the community, and there's an aspect of that engaging the community that's even more important than the savings that we get from the hours that are spent being volunteers. So, you know, I'm grateful for the volunteer program. You know, I think it's really softening the view of the shelter and the department, and it's just all sort of working together. I mean, it's still chaotic. It's an organized chaos, but we're getting there.
One last comment to what you just said.
Yes, sir.
Engaging the community is happening, and you see it, you feel it. I mean, 10 years ago, if I drove by Mount Vernon in 1058, I couldn't even look over there because it was too depressing. Now, people are coming to you, volunteers are seeking you out. They want to, you know, they're goal-oriented, and they're achieving 100, 200, 500 hours. You see the adoption rate here out on social media. People are coming to you because now people are becoming more inspired. Yeah, because you have engaged the community. That's really what we need to do, is to keep doing that. And you see that it's paying off. And some of these stories, like with this one girl, I'm sure that's not the only one. I'm sure there's more than that going on. So all this stuff will start to grow exponentially as these pieces of the puzzle of no kill start, you know, hitting the ground and solidifying and then taking off from there. But you've got a great foundation and a great jumping off point.
Commissioner Tanger, do you have any questions or comments?
Okay. Well, I was just going to comment on a few things that Nick said. Do you think the location change has improved the community involvement, adoption, volunteer, foster? Do you think? I mean, it seems like that would be a logical assumption to me. I mean, it looks a whole lot better.
I absolutely think that had
and I think it's
something to do with
it's
it.
It's closer to people who are more willing to become involved, I think.
I mean,
I call that Republican land. It is.
I think that the location is much more accessible. There's a lot more going on out there, but you take the good with the bad. You don't want to consider saving animals bad, but I mean, we get more intake as well as we get more foot traffic for adoptions. So you got to balance the two. But I absolutely agree that the location and the building itself is just more inviting. It's more customer friendly, and I mean, we started a customer survey program about a year ago, and you know, people fill them out, and it's like 99.9%. glowingly positive, like your shelter's clean, your people are nice, and you know, it's like I said, it's all working together. But absolutely, to answer your question, I think the location has helped.
Yeah. The other thing I was going to comment about seeing intake reductions, years ago when I first got involved in doing some spay neuter stuff with the SPCA and all that, I did a lot of research on what causes what, and one of the main things they said was, you know, to reduce intakes, you have to provide spay neuter for low-income people, which is why I've always preached the income requirements. But the other thing was, is it takes a minimum of 2 to 3, maybe even more years, to see any intake reduction from a change. And really, the big change has been recently, or, you know, the big increase in spay neuter. So we're not going to see it for a little while, but
it won't stop me from looking at those numbers every day, though.
I just want to say thank you. I think you're doing a fantastic job, and I want to bring to everybody's attention that Nick is now officially the director. Okay. I'm excited, a lot of good things to come. I have to say that I'm tickled that the fosters are down for puppies, because even though anecdotal, from the time that we came on board, that's what we wanted, and it's working. Obviously, the voucher programs, the spay neuter, the education, it's all starting to culminate in some positive results. And the fact that we're getting calls from other organizations, it's fantastic, because that's what we want to be. We want to be the city on the hill. We want to be the example that others can live by. So thank you
for
being able to direct the ship now.
It's the county animal services staff. I mean, we have an incredible staff and an incredible core of volunteers. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what's doing it. So.
Thank you.
Anything else? Okay.
Sanderson?
Yes, I was. Yes.
I don't know if I missed it, but did you introduce Ms. Taggart?
No, I was going to do that in a moment.
Oh, no, sorry.
I guess I could do it now.
Sorry.
We'd like to welcome Ms. Taggart. She is our new commissioner, taking Don Watches' place. So if everybody wants to say welcome. I'm not sure she knows what she's in for.
Now's a good time.
All righty. So that's it for staff announcements. All righty. Can I get a motion to receive and file?
I make the motion to receive and file this.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All righty. Next, our commissioner announcements and reports. Well, you've always had something.
I'm the quiet one. I also want to remind everybody that in addition to getting the job, Nick's going to get a raise in January, too. So we all want to go out to lunch. That's also, another kudo for Nick. Last month, we didn't have a quorum, but we hung around longer than a meeting would have taken to talk about mostly the planning department issues. There were a lot of people that were very confused, to be honest with you. I still don't understand it. But I think it was helpful. We were able to touch on a variety of other topics, too, and I was able to pull some rebels out into the hallway and put them down a little to talk about some other things that they were having questions about. But it was actually a very good opportunity, and I was really grateful that everybody stayed and we were able to do that. So that was really
enough. You know, there was a part of that I enjoyed. That interaction, almost like almost like just a Q&A session, and it was
like a town hall.
Yeah, like a town hall meeting. Yeah, it was enjoyable to some extent. You know?
Also, in that 400 and something animals that were adopted in August, I know you did one horse because I was there the day the horse was adopted, and I remember hearing everybody talking about it. I'm like, you can just drive up and adopt a horse. That was just kind of amazing to me. Also, I have had a wonderful experience as a kitten foster mom for that 78 in August at my house. I had no intention of ever doing this, but I got bamboozled. But they're very adorable and they're really cute. And Deanna is really good to work with. She's on top of it completely. There was also another young man who, I can't remember his name. He was the second most interested person in the photography training. But I don't think he recognized me. I had my sunglasses on. And I don't think he knew who I was, but he was still really, really nice to me and very interested in taking pictures. So I was very impressed by all that. So I think that was really cool. Speaking of Facebook, I don't know if you guys have seen it, but there's a video that I believe it's the Oakland SPCA that made about adopting and spaying and neutering to a popular song, which I'm too old to know what the song is, but I'd like to send it. Maybe we can put it on our Facebook page, but I don't know how to do that either because I'm not real Facebook-y. But it's hilarious and really cute, so I want you guys to find it on Facebook if I can't seem to get it to Maggie. The other question is, have we gotten any more city stats? Mm-hmm. Oh, would you have some? Were they in this pile?
They were hoping that it's now going to be worked out that they're going to just be sent automatically and we're going to send ours.
Oh, okay. They were in that pile. Okay. They weren't in the email, but they were. Okay. I didn't look through that pile. Okay. What was the other thing? Oh. I've been seeing on the news that McFarland got a federal grant for a big chunk of money to make some general improvements. Well, actually, Fresno did, and they're talking about using some of it for animal control. But then I heard McFarland got some, and they were talking about some other things, but they did not mention animal control. And I know, and some of the people and friends can attest to, their animal shelter situation is dismal, really, really, really bad. I don't think they even adopt animals. I think they just kill them all that come in.
No, they go to rescues,
but almost, they don't adopt.
Almost all out to rescue.
Oh, well, that's good, because they used to just kill them all.
And some are too.
Yeah, and then Friends, I don't know if they still are, but Friends pays for their vaccinations. Is that still what's going on?
Not anymore, no. We did for a while, but this city finally decided they should pay for something like that. So.
Oh, well, that's nice. Okay. But I don't know, I mean, short of writing letters and sending emails, I would like to encourage them to use some of that money for their animal services. I mean, that the first thought I have is just start doing an email and letter campaign, but would it be possible for the commission to somehow make that recommendation?
Would that be appropriate?
No. Probably not. It would be like telling the city of Bakersfield what they should do with their money.
Right, we don't know all that.
I'd like to do that, too.
I would suggest as a private citizen it would be appropriate, but not from the commission.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, if everybody could do that, it would be really cool. I know it's a pretty sad situation out there. I think that's it. Thank you.
I'm sorry, I missed the impromptu town meeting. It's always a good time.
Very exciting.
Or then I'm good to go.
Sorry. Commissioner Taylor? Commissioner Weber?
I was noticing on the city numbers that their euthanasia, supposedly unhealthy and untreatable only, 580. For the month of August. That's just in Bakersfield. And in the whole county, we had 660. So eventually, Bakersfield is going to surpass the whole county if we keep doing what we're doing. So I thought that was pretty amazing that of the number of comparisons.
I had a few things. Our neighbors to the north of us have been devastated by the fires, all the way up in Lake County, through Fresno County, all throughout the northern part of the state. We've got a number of friends that have lost their homes. They've lost their belongings. They were lucky to get out with their lives and their animals, and some lost animals as well. And something that I have been trying to get a handle on from the very beginning is to create some kind of a disaster preparedness plan for our community. The fire department has told us that they are so inundated with requirements from the state that they have to address that there is no place in their role right now in dealing with the animal issues at hand, should a disaster befall us. And so with that, I would like to create a subcommittee to explore that possibility. And if Commissioner Geary has agreed to head that subcommittee, and I'd like to see if there's another member on the panel. Geary or Stanger? We only have two, right?
Yeah.
If she wants to.
Okay, great. So if you guys will work together, I've got a plethora of information, having worked with the fire department and some of the rest, you know, the SAR groups and whatnot. But it would be wonderful if this commission could maybe, you know, facilitate something that we could present and help our citizens should something happen.
You have an idea on the resources that you're thinking about?
Well, there's a tremendous amount available through FEMA.
Okay.
In talking to the fire department, Ms. Armstrong has told me that if we can come up with the plans and there are things that we need, she will include us in their grant process.
Okay.
So, you know, we have opportunities that if we can come up with the right plan, you know, we've, you know, discussed transportation of animals, housing of animals, having go-to places within certain environments where, whether it's livestock, horses, what, you know, cows, the dogs, the cats, where people could go, because the Red Cross, you know, and Salvation Army just don't have situations set up where when the people come in, they can also bring their animals. And there's a lot of people that will refuse to leave their homes no matter what if they can't take their animals. So we end up with a loss of life and a loss of animal life. In tragic situations. So it's a broad topic.
Okay.
We're a big county, but I think that we can do it. I think we've got a lot of brain power here and a lot of people that want to help and to be able to coordinate rescues organizations and things like that in times of need, as well as, you know, ranchers, farmers. I know a few years ago when we had the fires up in Fraser Park, the county had contacted me, and we were a go-to location for people to bring livestock, dogs, cats, etc., and I got on the phone and talked to several people that I knew that were farmers and ranchers who were willing to open up their properties for animals to come in should the need arise. So, you know, a lot of times all you have to do is ask.
I was thinking on the food side of it.
Yeah. We've got a lot of manufacturers. Yeah. My daughter's been doing it up in Northern California. She's contacted Purina Pro Plan, Iams and Yukonuba, Nature's Balance. There's a whole lot of them where all you have to do is make a phone call. They will drop pallets of the stuff. They will send a diesel up. And the problem is that with these fires and the loss of home and whatnot, the immediate concern, obviously, is finding a place for the people, their animals, etc., and caring for them in the immediate. But these people that have lost their homes, they're going to need long-term care. They're going to need equipment. They're going to need product. They're going to need food for their animals. And that's where a lot of the aftermath of a fire or a flood or an earthquake, that's when people really need to step up and be able to have things to
clean water.
Yeah, exactly. So. You know, and in the FEMA, I went through the FEMA list yesterday or the day before. They have all that kind of stuff available, purification equipment, all kinds of stuff for animals. It was pretty amazing and kind of eye-opening in going through that. So I'll forward all of that information that I have, and we'll let you guys kind of rock and roll with it and see what we can come up with. So thank you so much.
Our committee of two is a huge project.
It is a huge project.
Can we have volunteers assist us?
Yes.
In our committee?
Yes.
Oh, yes. Oh, good.
The only condition is that the commissioners themselves, only two people can participate. So the discussion is either between the two people or at a meeting.
Okay. What about if, you know, they're not at a meeting, can Debbie, like, call me and say, do you have something? Oh, yeah, I have it, and send it to her?
This is where it gets tricky. You can only have two board members in consensus at any one time. So if you have already spoken to another commissioner, and you have a consensus and you relay that consensus to a third board member, you have violated the Brown Act. So you have to be very, very careful when you talk amongst yourselves.
What I was more looking at is this is going to be broken up into several different areas, like supplies. can we have just a commission member, but a volunteer? Can we give them that responsibility to come back with us with the information?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Because okay. We're going to need that.
Now, am I forwarding the information to them from all my years? Is that a problem?
No, because okay. You're not establishing a consensus.
Okay.
Perfect. So we're passing them information is okay then?
Yeah, passing information is fine. Be careful. It's probably best to do it via email because that way you've left a trail.
And I have history.
Should we CC you so you can tell us bad?
Depends on how much email there's going to be. But that should work just fine.
Okay. Coincidentally, I've started working on a program up in it's going to be the Greater Tehachapi Large Animal Sheltering Program. It's in baby steps, so I'm working on something else sort of similar to it. It's and it got prompted because of the recent fires up there. People were calling us saying, where do we take our animals? And the Rodeo Grounds is perfect. We just have to go through a lot of hoops to do it. So I'm working on that and put it in conjunction with this.
Cool. Liz.
Madam Chair, can I ask a question?
Yes.
I was under the impression that the county, Qua County, has a disaster plan and that every department, group, whatever, is supposed to have thrown something into that. Has Animal Services been a part of that?
You know, I think they were a few years ago, but they've got stages. Georgiana Armstrong relayed to me is that they have stages on how they do the whole disaster plan. And so it starts here at step one, and then there's 2, 3, 4, etc. And I think what they're concentrating right now on is assistance and evacuation issues that are related to people with disabilities and that type of thing. That was the last stage that they were working on when I talked to her. So there's a process, and everybody throws their stuff in the arena, but they have to follow state and federal mandates in preparing this whole plan.
So. I guess part of my question is, would it be useful for the subcommittee to find out what the county
absolutely.
Disaster plan is to see
absolutely.
What's been covered, what hasn't, where...
That would be the first step.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Go from there, and there's only so much our shelter can do
right.
when it really comes down to it, if it's really a huge... disaster, so...
Yeah. Oh, sure. But I'm thinking ahead because I would presume at some point when the subcommittee works on stuff, and I'm also presuming that the subcommittee can talk with Colin and anyone else at the agency about what they have in mind, that a recommendation would be brought back to the commission as a body, which might then make a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors
exactly.
as a body.
Right.
So if there's something, you know, even if it's this much already there, let's look
build
at that.
And build on that.
And build on it, yeah.
So just to touch on that, so, you know, anytime there's a natural disaster in Kern County or an emergency in Kern County, pretty much every emergency you hear about, we respond.
Right.
We have a procedure that we follow. We have a trailer that's outfitted with emergency supplies, dog food, cat litter, bowls, everything you would need to set up an emergency shelter. We usually work in conjunction with the Red Cross because wherever the Red Cross sets up is where we set up.
Mm-hmm.
What could really be beneficial is sort of a list of, you know, contacts and resources for things that our department doesn't supply.
Mm-hmm.
And sort of all-reaching list of interested parties who can assist, especially when we're talking about large animals.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And that's sort of a part that's lacking with our procedure.
Definitely. And Commissioner Blackburn, you had a question?
Well, Liz kind of stole my thunder on that. We're thinking on the same wavelength.
First time that ever happened.
No. But since we're a satellite of the Board of Supervisors, in a way of speaking, I mean, in addition to the disaster relief, couldn't we go to the board and say, by the way, couldn't we ask you for resources? What what different agencies, what different departments, what resources they might have that could contribute toward this. So in addition to the disaster relief, part B is, by the way, what resources could we get from you?
Right.
And then go to them either as a subcommittee chairman or as the commissioner chairman. That was my idea, but same.
And we've got a lot of rescues and stuff that provide a lot of help in a lot of organizations. California Federation of Dog Clubs has a disaster fund, and they assist.
And a trailer.
And trailer. We've got a Northern and Southern California trailer. So I think, you know, there's a lot of those resources available, and the coordination of all of that would be phenomenal. Phenomenal. So thank you. You keep on saying thank you.
Go under the table. I'm probably jumping the gun on this question, but this seems to come around all the time when smaller groups try to put something together, is liability, the volunteers. Would it, if they were volunteers, if this program were put together, and they were volunteers that were going to be staged at an area to care for the animals, would they be covered under the county?
Probably. Jerry, question. I mean, I can tell you that every disaster or emergency we responded to, it's staff only. Now, we've had cases where we're evacuating large animals, and we don't have a choice because we only have one horse trailer, and we call in volunteers with the horse trailers because, whether Jerry likes it or not, sometimes in a natural disaster, an emergency, we get those animals out of there any way we can.
It is what it is.
Yeah, there's a very generic answer, and that is, in the state of California, when you are offering aid during an emergency, you are immune from certain liabilities. Uh-huh. That's a very generic answer, though. In general, if you are volunteering officially with the County of Kern, which the situation that Nick is describing probably doesn't qualify, but if you are, for example, going to the shelter and working for the County of Kern, you are covered by our insurance. In an emergency situation, we primarily rely on the immunity allowance under California law.
Okay.
So the actual answer is, it depends.
Yeah. And I know when I went to the volunteer seminar a few years back, they had protocols in there for volunteers and how to make sure that they're covered and protected. Okay. So I'll have to find that information.
I've just seen a lot of plans get put together and then stop. We'll just move forward and get that question again another time.
Just to respond, Maggie Kaler, Animal Services, just to respond to your question, Janice, Public Health has their Medical Corps volunteers that go through training, and they're covered underneath Public Health as they're part of Public Health. That may be something that we could do, is once you get a group of volunteers or agencies or rescues together, that we have multiple trainings so they can then be covered under our volunteer for that, and they're specifically disaster related volunteers, so when they're on call, they're covered because they've gone through the proper training channels just like the regular volunteers.
Perfect. Okay, cool. Thank you. You can say thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And then the other thing I wanted to bring some attention to was the Bakersfield Pet Food Pantry. They've been in existence for almost 7 years now and really doing a phenomenal job. Within the last 6.5 or so years, they have distributed over 230,000 pounds of food to people in need for their animals. You know, they also promote, you know, responsible dog ownership, pet ownership. They distribute ID tags, leashes, collars, as well as information about spay-neuter programs within the county. And so I just wanted to kind of, you know, bring that to your attention, and if you have an opportunity, tell them thank you or make a donation so they can continue the good work that they do.
And they have a website.
Yes.
And you can go there.
Yeah, where is it?
BakersfieldPetFoodPantry.com.
I believe that's
.org.
Bakersfield Pet Food Pantry.
That's the start of my business. That's the start of
there you go. Okay. So that's it for commissioner announcements and reports. Now, do we need to make a motion for the subcommittee?
Yes.
Okay, so if I could have
a motion,
please.
I'll make the motion that these two ladies be on the subcommittee to create the disaster chair draft for us.
Great. Do I have a section?
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Okay.
Any opposed? All right. Is to create okay, on to old business. The first item is, let's see here, request by planning department for support of animal-related revisions. We have to sign, is that to sign something?
That's to approve a letter in support to
okay,
the board.
Okay, so I just need a motion to approve and sign.
And I apologize, there was a letter in the packet last month and I forgot this month. So.
Not a problem.
I make a motion to approve and sign.
Okay, do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right, so when we find that, I'll sign it. Next, staff referrals. Number A, incorporate suggestions from dangerous dog road. Okay, where are we at on the subcommittee for dangerous
Everything was in there.
Right.
Actually, this one is in my lap.
Okay.
Nick has done a preliminary run through incorporating the new procedures, and it is on my desk for review.
Okay, perfect.
Although, I apologize for my lack of preparedness. I had some questions that I wrote up last month, but I've slept since then. And I know I'm in this pile. So if you want to go to the next thing, I'll come back with it.
Okay. Next would be the spay neuter funds update. You're up, Blake.
Did I turn it off?
You turned it off.
Okay. How about if I just speak up? See what this does. All right. So on the back table, if you didn't get one, is a two-sided document. And one side says, the third line down says activity through 9/15/15. The second one down, second line down says this is 14/15. So if you come over to the middle of the page, all the way to the right where it says the balance, you'll see that we went over the $250,000 by $416. We have completed 3,845 surgeries, and Marley's Mutts can still turn in a few more surgeries, and I'm told that the Friends has a couple more. I am still predicting that we will exceed 3,900 surgeries for the year, and a solid majority of them were in the target area of 9 through 3, 0, 5, 6, 7, 8, and Lamont in our target areas here. I added something to this that wasn't here last month. I did a breakdown of how many surgeries are the result of vouchers and how many of the others are out of the result of off-site clinics or and I put other because there might be something off the wall that I'm not thinking of right now. And so that was how that broke down. Our low-income vouchers are about, we did a total of 667 surgeries and over the 6 months using the low-income vouchers, and 60% of them were from the target area and 40% were from other parts of the county. Let's see. Then if you turn your page over, you can see how we intend to spend the money this year for the 15-16 fiscal year. We're going to continue with the funding for Marley's Mutts monitor that and see how it goes. We're going to put about $50,000 into the outlying areas and $30,000 into TNR and about $100,000 into low-income vouchers. And if we exceed that with low-income vouchers, we still have the low-income voucher trust fund that we have where licensing funding goes into that. So we've got some cushion there. As you can see, we've already utilized $17,845 of that. We've completed 229 surgeries. Those come from some low-income vouchers, and we did 55 surgeries in Taft from vouchers that were passed out at the end of the fiscal year last year, and the surgeries were completed this year. We had 55 surgeries there, and another 7 surgeries up in East Kern from vouchers that were passed out in the prior year. So you can see that we utilized the funding for the $250,000 from last year, and we're going to be able, and we're moving forward with this year. And I think the biggest thing that I've learned is how many people there are out there that are really involved in this. We've got, you know, people in this room that are involved, and then there's Have a Heart up in Tehachapi. I was reading how many spay neuter surgeries they've been responsible for. There's a group up in Lake Isabella that's doing a lot up there, and most of those, one of the groups pays for the surgeries and transports the people back and forth to Critters Without Litters because there are no vets up in the Lake Isabella area that are willing to participate at this point. Fraser Park, we've got some really active groups up there. So we're making a lot of progress as a county, and I don't want to leave anyone out. I think where our biggest holes are, where nothing, very little is happening, is North County. We need to really focus on that and see if we can get some help up in that area. Continue moving forward the way we are. Any questions? Yes, Liz.
I may have missed it, or I may be misreading. At the bottom of fiscal year 2014-15, it says low-income voucher redemption rate 7/1/2014 to 12/31/2014. Is that really from only July through December?
Yes.
Okay. What happened to January 15 through June 15?
I am not willing to calculate that data till a couple of months afterwards because it takes that long to get all the vouchers in. So I can change that for next month. I think we're pretty much, all of them are pretty much in, and so there's no reason for me to calculate that prior to now.
Okay.
So any other questions? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do I need to receive a file? Yes. Okay. Can I have a motion, please? Second. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?
Okay.
Oh, okay. All right. We're
going to
jump back.
Okay. I did get the draft of some of the procedural changes from Nick. I assume it's the one sitting on your desk.
I don't know. It is okay. Sitting.
It's in the file. Yeah, I understand I have files. I just had a couple of questions. Do you have it with you by any chance?
No.
Okay.
Shouldn't take more than an hour.
Okay, there's one, the first procedure. That's kind of on the way down, is when confronted with a situation where it appears a designation may be appropriate due to the actions of the animal or its owner, the ACO may obtain or shall obtain statements by any and all witnesses willing to give statements. Could we also add in there that we obtain their contact information so that we can notify them of the potential hearing?
Sure.
Which we're doing later on in the procedure. Then in number 3, we're including the history information and making it available for the officers. Mm-hmm. Is there any way to include history on the owners? Not necessarily on the dog.
History that we might have.
Yeah. Well, you do a whole criminal background check, but that would take some time. But if we have any owner, does Chameleon allow that?
What kind of information are we talking about?
Well, like somebody had a dog 10 years ago that bit somebody. And
oh, I see. Dangerous. So if they've had another dog that was...
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
As long as that's legal.
There's an issue.
Well, yeah, or worse, yeah.
There's an issue with relevance. This is all intended to go towards the dangerous dog hearing, so there's a relevance issue.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily say it has to go into the hearing, but it would be something available to the officer at the time. That's all I'm saying. God, you're annoying.
I know. I get paid for it, too.
Personal at all.
I'll have to do some research on that, because there are a couple of issues there.
Are you talking about personal history in general or any personal history involving animals?
Involving animals.
So, would that make it better?
No. it's a privacy issue. But for the most part, if it's an officer responding in a law semi, let's see, let's call it peace officer situation. For example, a sheriff's deputy would have access to a prior criminal history that was available online. So it should be okay, but I'd like to further check it.
Okay.
I think we when we're talking about dangerous designation, and this is probably a discussion for another time, but, you know, got to be careful not to hold the dog accountable for the owner's actions.
Exactly.
You know, I think that's getting into an uncomfortable area that needs to be discussed.
Yeah, I know. Then under number 5, we added a statement about, well, I'll just read the whole thing. The ACO will serve the animal owner by hand or by first class mail with return receipt requested within 5 business days, a copy of the verified petition and notice of hearing, date, time, and place. And then the part we added was all victims and witnesses, and it says here, officially submitting statements shall be notified at the time and place of the hearing. Can we change that to say all victims and witnesses identified at the scene rather than officially submitting statements?
I think there's
issues with that, because just because someone's at the scene doesn't mean we got their information. So,
but previously I asked them to get their information.
Again, if you have an incident with a large number of people at the scene, it is not reasonable to assume the animal control officer is going to be able to get everyone's information.
My concern is officially submitting statements implies that they're doing something written and notarized.
Actually,
and
a statement could be what they gave the officer and they wrote it down.
Correct. Okay. All right, I'll concede on that one. Okay, that's all.
All right, thank you.
We good?
I think so.
Still,
I know. I am. I'm sorry.
I'm feeling good about that. Okay, next is Friends.
Friends report. Any?
Hello. Reception in here is terrible, and I am unable to download my stats. Judy Donnell, Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation. However, we are running somewhere in the vicinity of 2-to-1 cats to dogs, mostly because the first question when somebody calls is cat or dog, if they don't tell me, and are you in the city or are you in the county? If it's a cat, it's an automatic, this is how you get the voucher, with a shout to Kern Humane as well. If it's a city dog, we push them to use the city's funds. And apparently that seems to be relatively successful, because they're running out of money so far, which is good, because they need to put up a heck of a lot more than $20,000 a year. So that's been going. We are still, there was a flyer back there, Basic Needs has launched another 2-month program, and we are still contributing to that. And if you look at it, it includes all kinds of areas. Where they're targeting now, they had a specific one in California City. They had a specific one on the east side for large dogs. This one is pretty much everywhere except the Bakersfield metro area. It's all the way around. all the outlying areas. And
it's McFarland, too.
Yes. Well, and they did that before. They were kind of running out and called me, and it was like June or July, and said, what can we add? And I'm like, Delano, McFarland, Shafter. And so we did, and that money got used up. But they get, I mean, they're in Los Angeles. They get grants, and they have been doing this. The other thing, and I don't, well, we didn't have a meeting last month. I probably mentioned it, but not for real. Anyhow, we met with a Eagle Scout person who, that we're working on the cat room. We got a bid, and so now it's whatever the next step is for him to do. I don't know what he's doing, but we do have it. We got the bid, about a week ago? So that's going. And we are in the process, we are in the beginning stages of a TNR program for cats up in the Kern River Valley area. One of our board members is up there, and she's been spearheading this. She, in the last month, has been going to various community things and putting out flyers, and has identified, well, she said last night, it's at least 300, but she suspects probably, and it'll probably end up being closer to 500 cats, identified ferals that people are taking care of. We just bought 10 traps that are being shipped up to her, and there's other people up there that have traps they can use. She's negotiated with Nick that with a phone call the week before when we start, which will be probably more like the early November when we actually get rolling on this, five a week down to the county, and the rest are going to go to Critters. And so that the logistics of that and how that and fundraising, people, we need money here. This is the 300 cats at $55 a pop is $16,000. So we're going to be doing some fundraising. Barbara has been talking to the Chamber of Commerce is up there, the community groups, the newspaper is going to do an interview and do an article on this up there. And she's been to the Moose and the Elks and the, I don't know, all the service clubs that are up there to, to hit up the big animals to take care of the cats, to see if we can raise some money for that up there. And because we did with the play yard up there, all of the money and all the donations that were done, all that money that was raised to build that play yard up there came from the Kern River Valley area. So we're pretty hopeful, and there seems to be a lot of interest in this, to see how this goes and see if we can coordinate some vaccination clinics and with when these guys come up, and we'll go from there. But yeah, we've got the first part of like, okay, now we know we have some out there. Now it's the raise some money and actually start trapping and hauling them around. So that's pretty much it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. Next item, update on letter, a vote of confidence. This is kind of old. We've already written the letter and presented it to the Board of Supervisors.
Thank you, by the way.
And Nick's got your mom.
Yes,
and Nick's got the gate, so I think we did okay. And the last item is the update on the report to the board concerning Animal Control Commission activities. I have met with Director Cullen, Maggie, and our attorney, and I've got 3 pages so far, and waiting for some more data and info, so we're working on it and probably should have it to present next month, huh? You think? Maybe?
I would think so.
Okay, cool. So that's where we're at on that. Okay, that's it for the old business. Is there any new business? Yes, ma'am.
I just have a request, please.
Sure.
If
name?
Name Ida Jane Rutledge, Rutledge, and I live in the county.
Thank you.
If you all, and I'm saying commissioners, animal, everybody, animal people, you are drawing a good crowd now. You have a lot of support. It would be marvelous if we could hear what was going on. My suggestion would be either that everyone use that microphone. Thank you, Nick, for doing that. That everybody use the microphones, that there be enough microphones, that the room configuration be changed so that everybody could sit closer instead of us being in two different counties.
This is
if you all want to have your meeting just amongst yourselves, if you want the support of the community, we've got to be able to be engaged and to hear what's going on.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are you having trouble hearing us? Is that...
That's what she's saying.
Some of you.
Okay.
Certainly not.
Because, do you see, just look at your physical configuration there. Where's the microphone?
There's one here, there's one there.
So, obviously, those in the middle, fine.
Okay.
On the outside, no.
I need to yell louder.
No, there just needs to be microphones.
Okay.
And people need to, if the microphones are there, people need to speak into the microphone.
So the person in charge of the room, they don't like this.
Yeah, so what we'll do, you know, when we come into the room, it's usually, it's a multi-purpose room.
Right.
So sometimes we don't know what the room may have been used for yesterday. So when we come in, we have to quickly kind of organize it. So we'll just make sure that we get here early enough that we can be here and have enough staff to move all the stuff up front.
You won't be way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a question. Are there outlets for more microphones?
No.
No.
Yes.
We can just shift everybody forward.
Well, we're working on getting each commissioner a microphone.
I have some megaphones that I take to the bathroom. Thank you. All right. Any other new business? Okay. That leaves us with adjournment.
I make a motion to adjourn.
All righty. Do we have a second? All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, we'll see you on Wednesday, October 21st. Thank you.